Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Open Book, your weekly spiritual book club. We're here. We've missed you. We love you. My name is Lori Strawn. I'm joined by my co-host, Alice Shelton. Hi, Alice.
Hi, Lori. Have you been drinking before the show?
Apparently, I have a little bit. But we're on a more sobering note. Today, we're going to tackle a subject near and dear to both of our hearts. Alice and I are associates with the Sisters of Providence of St. Mary of the Woods. What the heck does that mean? Well, let's begin by telling our listeners who the Sisters of Providence are. They're a congregation of Roman Catholic women religious, headquartered just outside of Terre Haute, Indiana, where they've been since 1840, and they serve God through acts of love, mercy, and justice. Alice, how did you first come to know the Sisters of Providence?
Well, I love your use of the word headquarters. That makes me laugh. I first came to know the sisters, I think, because I knew as a very young child that my Aunt Sandra, for a short time, was a member of their community and then left and subsequently married. So I think that's probably my first knowledge of it, but I also remember as a little child knowing that my mom and my grandmother and a couple aunts went to the college that the sisters founded, St. Mary of the Woods College. And also, I mean, my teachers, from first grade on, I had Sisters of Providence in school. So I really didn't understand that there were any nuns other than Sisters of Providence until I was probably, I'm going to tell you that it might have been when I was late years of college before I really understood that there were sisters who weren't Sisters of Providence.
Really?
Yeah. How about you?
See, that's so the opposite of my life. I'd never heard of the Sisters of Providence before college, really. Even though there was an SP high school that was near my home, it closed the year that I was going to start high school. I was educated by Franciscans and Sisters of St. Joseph, so I knew that there were lots of different kinds of nuns. And I liked them as individuals, but I never felt a real connection with them as a whole, as a group. After I came to St. Mary of the Woods College, I started forming relationships with some of the sisters, especially Sister Barbara Doherty, who was president of the college at the time, and Sister Jean Nerley, who was the former president, and Sister Rosemary Nutt, who was the professor of English. And those relationships had a real profound effect on me. And I would say by the end of sophomore year, I had decided that I was going to become a Sister of Providence myself after graduation. And then
now, isn't
this,
that and the rest?
I know.
Go ahead.
I know. I met right afterwards. I met this super great guy. I fell in love, and that aspiration kind of collapsed. Except it didn't really. I would say it sort of was put on the back burner for a long time until I heard about becoming an associate, and then I realized I could still be part of these women that I admired and respected and loved, but in a different way.
Yeah, and I it's funny, I don't have exactly the same experience, but when I heard and knew that the sisters were going to approve this associate relationship within their organization, if you will, at their headquarters, I remember having the very same thought that I had gone through a process of thinking about becoming a religious sister, and it just wasn't where I thought God was really leading me. But when this came about, I thought, well, this is kind of a nice way to have the best of both worlds, you know, eat your cake and ice cream too, if you will. So,
So for you, were the Sisters of Providence the only sisters you ever thought about?
You know, they were the only sisters I ever thought about joining as a religious community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You mean? Yes. I mean, truly, Lori, when I say that I did not really realize there were other types of sisters, I really, truly did not. So that being drawn to that life for me was about it really liking and appreciating the community and friendships that I saw within and among the sisters. And the physical place of the college I loved. But, you know, having watched my mother's and aunts and grandmother just always have friends who are sisters. I mean, Sisters of Providence just were normal. I mean, they've never been like that whole sister, I'm afraid, it's mysterious thing. It's never been that way to me. When I hear people talk like that, or that I hear people talk about nuns hitting them with rulers and stuff, that it's just like, really? That is totally outside my lived experience.
Yeah, see, I had the kind of nun that was mysterious and wore habits and hit you sometimes. So, yeah, it's very... Your story sounds almost like an inevitability, whereas mine is very serendipitous.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good way to describe my story. And, in fact, as I was going through our kind of thinking about our discussion today, one of the hardest things for me is to tell people what it means, what I quote-unquote do as an associate. Because for me, Lori, it is like... If I found a long-lost brother or sister, you know, that I just always knew I had, why would I go through a formal adoption? I mean, I really need to go through a formal adoption process to acknowledge and be in relationship with someone who I've always known I've been in relationship with? And so it's hard for me to say why I became an associate, because I've always felt like one. I think it was just the sister said, okay, we can actually formalize what's already been going on for a long time.
Yeah, I think in many ways that is true of you. Well, let's go back a little bit and talk about what an associate is in general. And let me start by saying that many congregations of Catholic sisters have an associate program. What would you say is an associate, Alice? What does an associate do in general terms?
Sure. Well, an associate is a member. It's not really a member. It's a person who's in a formal relationship with a congregation. They're not a vowed member, so there's no financial or fiduciary connection necessarily. Although associates certainly could be, and I hope should be, and would be donors to the congregation they were a part of. But it's a group of people, and mostly it's men and women. It's not restricted to women as full vowed membership would be, who participate in the life and charism of the community. And so that could mean retreats. It could mean volunteering in a health care center that the sisters run and operate. It could mean participating in prayer, taking care of older sisters. It could mean simply praying in solidarity with the community. I mean, people of all ages become associates. So varying talents and abilities and things like that are going to be used and experienced with associates just like they would be with vowed members. So that's kind of a broad that's a broad definition. Can you give any more meat to that?
No, I think you covered the basics. You know, obviously it's an adult person. You have to be at least 18, I think,
right,
in most cases. But yes, any faith background, man or woman, and it's just a person who feels a closeness to a group of religious. Maybe these sisters taught you when you were a kid. Maybe you knew them through family members, as you did. Or, you know, however they met them, they're attracted to what motivates them, to that faith life, and they want to make that relationship more formal. It's a matter, I think, of saying, this is who I stand with. I love these people. I support these people. I want to be of some use to these people. And then that's what associates do, is they use their talents and their gifts to help the sisters in fulfilling God's mission of love.
Mm-hmm. And I can't speak to, because I haven't done extensive research on associate programs. I'm sure there are people who have, but I would think that the Sisters of Providence have a particular, people could be drawn to this associate relationship because of a connection to the physical space where the sisters' mother house is. I mean, I think there is, and that's probably true of like the Franciscans of Oldenburg, which is, I work for a Catholic university who is sponsored by them. They have an attractive mother house where there is physical, people have a physical and spiritual connection to the space. That's probably not true of all religious communities for women, but I would say some of them, that's a draw and a connection that people would want in an association relationship.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And since we're on the subject, let's talk about Providence Associates specifically, how are they different, say, than a Franciscan associate? Why did you choose, well, it's sort of obvious from your answer so far, but why, in general, would a person choose the Sisters of Christ?
Well, I think a person would if someone were to set out and say, I believe I want to become an associate, I don't know where I'm coming down in terms of orders, so I'm just going to do some research and spend some time with four communities and just see what it feels like. They would tell you that they feel some sense of a charism, what the everyday life and work of the community feels like. And so for Benedictine orders, for instance, you know, there's a big commitment to physical hospitality, and I think you would notice that from the Benedictines as being different from the hospitality of other communities. I mean, the Sisters of Providence would say hospitality too, but what I would say a person would notice about the Sisters of Providence if they were coming in from outside them is that they are very focused on care of the earth and creation. They are a very educated community in terms of
right.
just the number of PhDs and terminal degrees and higher education degrees that the sisters have. Their commitment, obviously, one of their primary ministries has been sponsoring and supporting a college. So, you know, it makes sense that those things would be important to them. They're a teaching order. They're an order that lives in the world, where if someone were interested in maybe being associate of a Carmelite monastic order, those women are not living out in the world. They're living in a community that's monastic. So I think that's, you know, people are going to look at those sorts of things and make a decision or feel called or drawn in one way or the other, primarily by the charism.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, to me, it's just at some point you make a decision about who you want around you and who you want to be aligned with, whether
mm-hmm.
that's a political group or maybe it's mm-hmm. pride in your ethnic background or loyalty to your family or whatever. I chose mm-hmm. to be a Providence associate because the Sisters of Providence of St. Mary of the Woods are the people I want to stand with. What's important
mm-hmm.
to them is important to me. The ways they help people are ways I respond to. You know,
mm-hmm.
I want to engage with the world the way they do, through acts of
mm-hmm.
love, mercy, and justice, recognizing that everybody is God's people. And as you say, that's their charism, the thing that draws you in. The Sisters of Providence, their charism is what drew me in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I, you know, again, I don't know everything about every religious community, so I'm speaking, you know, in some ways in a very slanted way about the Sisters of Providence, but I have admired and continue to admire the sisters' ability to look honestly at who they are not, what they need
mm-hmm.
to do to change, where their future is, and they have and will continue to face some very hard things, as will all women's religious communities. But I have always appreciated that they have faced it. They face and own what's difficult. Does that mean they're perfect? No. I mean, in fact, what I chuckle about is they are about as different as a bunch of women can be, and yet they come together and tackle with intention really, really hard topics and really honor one another's differences and let one another speak and come to hard decisions together. I think in this world, that's a pretty honorable thing, Lori.
I absolutely agree with you. Back to brass tacks. What kind of preparation did it require to become an associate, if people are wondering?
I think it's something you approach with a certain amount of prayer. I mean, I certainly did, but it happened, you know, a long, long time ago, I guess, probably. You have companionship, meaning you either select or are assigned a person who, a Sister of Providence, or I understand now an associate could also be a companion.
Mm-hmm.
Lori, is that true?
Since
yes, we have
that's
a
true.
Larger number. So either a vowed sister or an associate in good standing would companion you, and so they would be present to go through a nice, very well done and written binder of spiritual preparation or spiritual integration chapters that are writings about the congregation, technical things, but also spiritual things, some thoughts on how Sisters of Providence pray, just lots of information. So you go through those integration units with your companion and talk about those. And I would say the general person takes a year or two through that kind of initial process before they actually make a commitment. Probably a year's normal, Lori, would you say?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, there's an application to be completed, and if you're approved to move along with this process of discernment and understanding, you do that. And then once you and the congregation decide that you are ready to do this and you're serious about it and it feels like a good fit on both sides, then you actually come into the community of associates in a rite that sort of publicly does that. And then you renew your commitments for various numbers of years as you go forward. So lots of opportunities for retreats and things like that along the way.
Right.
And then you kind of just live in the world.
Yeah, exactly. And we should point out that although you and I were fortunate in that we already had some sort of relationship with the Sisters of Providence, some candidate associates don't know much or anything about them. My friend Monica read an ad in a magazine, I believe, and it just spoke to her. She wanted something more out of her life and just decided to take a chance. And used that year to get to know the Sisters of Providence and what they stand for and what's important to them so that a person can make an informed decision about taking the next step. I would also say that year helps to challenge the candidate associate's faith background, whatever that is, wherever you're coming from. You get to know yourself better, and you can see more clearly what you want out of your spiritual life. And if that is, you know, vibes with what this is, you know, what is this is becoming, this relationship, then you can take that step forward and you form more specific goals, ways of serving, ways of deepening your faith in accordance with what the Sisters of Providence stand for.
Yeah. In some ways, I would almost call that year, and even beyond that year of kind of, I don't know, not saturation is not the right word, but the companion year, I'll call it. It almost is like a kind of a gigantic time of spiritual direction. It's not that formalized. I suppose it could be that formalized, and there are people who go through formal spiritual direction during that time. But I think that's kind of, at least that's what it was for me. It was definitely a time of looking into myself. I mean, it was a good experience. And frankly, you know, I mentioned that there's kind of an approval process, if you will, and that's probably not the right word, because I think in the few instances where there's a decision that a person not go forward and make a formal commitment as an associate, I suspect that in most all those cases, it's the individual saying, you know, this is not the right time for me. This is not the right, I'm not feeling the love. I don't think it's the sisters putting up roadblocks. I think it's through the series of exploration discussion, the person says, you know, this is just not where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
So I don't want people to think you're going to get the boot or something.
Yeah, exactly. Well, what does a Providence associate do? Like, very specifically, how does he or she live out their commitment to the Sisters of Providence?
Well, as I said at the very beginning, this is a little bit hard probably for me to answer because for me it is really living out my life. But I guess I would say this. For me, it is a way of thinking about walking forward in my own faith journey and knowing that in every step of it, in some way, the Sisters of Providence will continue to be involved. Whether that is that I ultimately will retire there in their wonderful space for people who are retired and need a little more care than I do at this time in my life, or whether it's that I'm going to continue to physically visit and be part of the sisters who are living and ministering. You know, there's a commitment that the Sisters of Providence have made to me through this relationship that I did not have before, and that commitment to me is, I think, to allow me to continue to walk along with their community, grow with it, change with it, make hard decisions with it, And so that's important. The commitment I make when we remake commitments every 1, 3, or 5 years usually has to do with working to incorporate their mission into what I do in my everyday life. And that sounds very vague, but that's really what I do. I really try to think about, just like I do St. Mary of the Woods College, you know, every day I try to think about some way in which that can be a part of my life so that others recognize and come to know the Providence Nuns and St. Mary of the Woods College through their interactions with me.
Exactly. Well, and one of my goals, at least, is this radio show. You know, mm-hmm. I'm committed to sharing the charism of Providence, and I hope that it will draw other people to them. You know,
yep.
Being a Providence associate means being part of a community, really, for mm-hmm. me, with everything that entails, the love, the support, the mentorship. I get so much more than I give, is what I feel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree, and I mentioned earlier the whole concept of the way in which the sisters make decisions and as a community, you know, honor one another's differences by really grappling together with hard things. That's not a natural position for me by any stretch of the imagination. I'm used to just making fast decisions, acting, executing, you know, whatever. And so the modeling of that for me, I just eat up. I mean, anything that they put out a beautiful magazine called Hope, and I think it comes out quarterly, and I truly read that thing from cover to cover because it models for me how women religious and associates are living in their lives in a way that it promotes fairness and thought and values and, you know, intentional living. It's just there's so many things I gain from this relationship about just slowing my life down and being more intentional about the way I treat people and the way I make decisions and the impact that has on people in the world.
Yeah, I agree. Well, what else are some things that associates do? How do they, say, enrich their connection with the sisters and with one another?
Well, I mean, there are opportunities for retreats, which I think is significant. I mean, to have a beautiful place where associates and sisters can go to just take a break and have a time away to pray and reflect and whatever, disconnect from the world is terrific. Although they do have good wireless access, so I guess you're not totally disconnected. But, you know, associates do, I mean, Lori, as many things as sisters do, as many things as people do who actively volunteer in not-for-profit organizations and churches. I mean, associates do everything. Special things associates do that other people might do might be leading tours of the new shrine of Mother Theodore Guerin. That might be different than someone, you know, in another associate community would do. But, you know, they visit sisters who are elderly. Many associates write letters to sisters, older sisters who can't get out and about. You know, we do different types of prayer together. You know, just like our radio show is an example of what associates
mm-hmm.
do. I mean, associates, I think associates are creative in what they do. They try to figure out ways to forward the cause of the Sisters of Providence and the Kingdom of God within their own personal talents and skills.
Yeah. Yeah, and there are a lot of very practical, I guess, you know, very straightforward things that we do. We have retreats, we have events and programs and volunteer opportunities and
mm-hmm.
yearly get-togethers and Providence circles, small groups
yep.
that get together regularly, some by phone, others in person, and, you know, maybe they do volunteer work together, maybe they just talk about their spirituality. But no matter where you are in the world, and Alice and I are quite a long ways separate from one another in geography, no
right.
matter where you are, you're not alone if you're a Providence associate. And that is a wonderful thing to me. You have the woods, the place that is your home. The sisters and the associates are your family. You belong.
You do, and you also have access, you know, should you need it or want it. You have the full-time director of the program who's
mm-hmm.
there at the woods, and there's a full-time, I think Debbie's a full-time assistant director, if
yes.
I'm not mistaken. I mean, we have a functioning advisory board of people who have either just have been associates longer and have started into a leadership role here in that, or they just are, you know, new and they want to be in a leadership role. But, I mean, there's support for what associates want to be doing. I mean, the sisters have made the associate relationship a priority. They involve and include us and really encourage us to be part of their chapter meetings. They're getting ready to review their mission statement, not to change it, but just, I think, to see if it's what it should be, if they're mm-hmm. walking the talk, talking the walk. They've invited associates to participate in that and give feedback, which I think is great. They don't have to do that.
Exactly. Absolutely
so,
didn't have to. Well, what would you say you have... Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, one of the things that I've been particularly blessed by is... You know, the associates were really excited about becoming associates, and I was one of the first classes, if you will. The sisters were so excited and so have been so genuinely and outwardly surprised by the blessings that this has all come to. And it's amazing to me. I mean, sometimes I listen to Sisters of Providence talk about the associates, and it's like they're in awe of us, and we're in awe of them, and it's hilarious
exactly.
to watch it happen. Yeah.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Well, we're running out of time, but let's very quickly say, what have you personally gained by being a Providence associate, and what would you say to someone who was considering becoming one?
Well, the thing that has become so much more clear to me through the process of this association is, very simply put, a clarity about how much God loves me and how huge God is. So I think starting the process of becoming an associate started me on a journey of opening myself to who God is, and that has just kind of carried through. So that's one thing. What would I say to someone considering becoming a Providence associate? Let Providence assign you a companion. If you're interested in it, start the journey and start going through the companion part with a Sister of Providence or an associate, and just be open to that experience of what happens. Whether you end up doing it or not, I think it's worth the exploration.
Exactly. Or even, you know, look up the Sisters of Providence of St. Mary of the Woods or the founder, Mother Theodore Guerin. Read
yes.
some more. See what you
yes.
what you think. You know, you can do this. You can find purpose in your life and be part of a group who lives their faith every day in a really radical way.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So if you feel the smallest nudge, I feel like you should investigate.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that would be worthwhile for sure.
Well, I hope that we have piqued your interest in what a Providence associate is and what we do. If you're interested in learning more about becoming a Providence associate, and you don't have to be Catholic, remember, just somebody who's seeking more in life, please call 812-535-2862, or you can email paoffice@spsmw.org. New candidates are accepted between March 1st and June 30th every year. Hope that you will join us. And that wraps up our show for this week. What will we be doing next week?
Well, I'm reading two things right now, and I'm going to pick between them. One is called Jesus Shock, and the other one is called, I think, Everything You Wanted to Know About Being a Jesuit, and then some. So one of those two things will jump out at me this week. But until then, if you're looking for God, just have a great week and open a book. I said that wrong. Sorry, Lori. Bye.